Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents didn't know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed that day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded in his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. The Gospel of the Lord. In 1969, the memorial of the Immaculate Heart of Mary was moved from August 22nd to the day after the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart, because St. Paul VI wanted the connection between these two feasts to be obvious. Yesterday, we, together with the whole Church, prayed, "O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine." And Mary's heart was most similar to Jesus' meek and humble heart. And today on her feast, wanting our hearts to become more like Jesus's, we make our own the prayer of St. Louis Marie Grignion de Montfort and St. John Paul II, who used to pray this every morning. "Praebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria." Give me your heart, O Mary. How do we obtain a heart like Christ's through this gift of a heart like Mary's? Mary revealed it when in 1917 she came to speak to the human race, to the three shepherd children of Fatima. She showed them these three horrible images, as you know, about hell, about the destruction of atheistic communism, and about the persecution of the Church and even the assassination of the Holy Father. And then she proposed the remedy to it all: consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Because as the future Pope Benedict would write in a commentary, a heart that says yes to God is more powerful than all the hatred and the bullets that the world can muster. Consecration of Mary's Immaculate Heart is entrusting ourselves to a heart that beats in synchrony with her Son's. It's the means by which we enter into his consecration to the Father for us in our salvation. During the Last Supper, we remember that Jesus prayed that the Father would consecrate us in the truth of his word. And the great means by which that consecration takes place is through our own entrustment to the one whose life took its meaning from that word, the one in whom God's word took flesh and dwelt among us, the one whose whole life was lived in the truth from the first moment of her conception, the one who had enmity for the devil the father of lies. Great means by which we receive this offering of Mary's heart is by trying to imitate the great virtues of that heart. We see a few of those virtues in the readings today. Her heart was an incredibly grateful heart that rejoiced heartily, as Isaiah prophesied that would be fulfilled in her, rejoiced full of her heart in the Lord her Savior, who was constantly exulting in the Lord. It was a prayerful heart that pondered the things of God, treasuring them within, not trying to let any of them escape. But I think the most profound meditation we have on the virtues of her heart is found in the preface of the votive Mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary from the beautiful compendium of Masses of the Blessed Virgin, which is the most splendid Masses of our rite in terms of their eloquence. There, in that preface, it gives 8 adjectives of Mary's heart. These are all derivative of 8 characteristics of her son's heart. And when we seek to have a heart like unto Christ's, it's our heart's going to resemble these virtues. The prayer says, "You gave the Blessed Virgin Mary a wise and obedient heart, that she might perfectly carry out your will, a new and gentle heart, which you were well pleased and on which you inscribed the law of the new covenant. You gave her an undivided and pure heart, that she might be worthy to be the Virgin Mother of your Son and rejoice to see you forever. You gave her a steadfast and watchful heart, so that she could endure without fear the sword of sorrow and await in faith the resurrection of her son." First, wise. Her heart was wise like the young Solomon's because it pondered and treasured everything God revealed. It was wise because it was filled with God's wisdom. It was obedient. Hers was a heart that heard the word of God and kept it, perpetually saying fiat to what God willed. One of the alternative gospels today is when the anonymous woman from the crowd shouts to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee," even though no woman's womb or breasts were ever as blessed as Mary's because of their association with the Son of God. Jesus upped the ante in his praise, saying, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and observe it." Mary's real beatitude came from her holy obedience, her listening attentively to God's word, and her saying, not just once, but in a renewal several times each day, "Let it be done to me according to your word." A wise and obedient heart, that preface tells us, allows us perfectly to carry out God's will. We have to know what God's will is for us. That's the wisdom. And the obedience is the carrying out and the aligning of our life to that wisdom. A new heart. In Mary, we see the fulfillment of God's promise to the prophet Ezekiel to give us a new heart, taking away our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh, a heart that beats in love together with Jesus' beating, loving, bursting, brimming heart. Ever new, it never got old because it was constantly childlike through the trust in the Lord. New means consistently fresh. Mary wants us similarly to have a heart like that. Coupled with that freshness is gentleness. Her heart was one that learned from her son who told us yesterday in the gospel, "Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart." Doesn't crush others, but it's got such self-mastery that it's always able lovingly to serve. The preface tells us that a new and gentle heart is one that pleases the Lord and on which he can inscribe the law of the new covenant. This freshness, this childlikeness, pleases the Lord so much because it gives him permission to love us according to his fatherly desire. And a heart like this is one that can receive the Holy Spirit as he constantly writes that new law on it. An undivided heart. From the first moment of her existence, her heart was thoroughly united with God. Her heart sought God's kingdom. Today, if we had had the ordinary reading for Saturday the 11th week in ordinary time, we would have pondered Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And that's what Mary's heart did. It was undivided, always. Her heart was a pure echo chamber, saying amen to all God's desires. Her heart was similarly pure. And as her son taught us, the pure of heart see God. And her heart did, because there was no room in it for the blind spots caused by sin. In the preface, we say that this undivided and pure heart made her worthy to be the Virgin Mother of God's Son and rejoice to see him forever. Her undivided heart was the fittingness for the virginal conception, for the Annunciation. It's also what makes it possible for her to see God, and also possible for her to see us in God with the same love with which God loves us. Final two attributes: steadfast. Her heart persevered through vicissitudes. It loved on despite being pierced so many times. The presentation, the second Annunciation, Simeon foretold that her own heart would be pierced on account of her son's being a sign of ruin and resurrection that would be contradicted. That heart was pierced anew when Herod sought to assassinate Jesus, when they needed to flee into Egypt, when her fellow Nazarenes tried to hurl him to his death. So many rejected him during his public ministry. When the crowds chose Barabbas over him, she saw a mock, scourged, condemned, crucified, and killed. But her heart never stopped beating. It never gave up. She kept loving to and through the cross. She kept standing lovingly right alongside her son. Her heart was lion-hearted. And the last attribute is vigilant. Her heart waited for her son's resurrection with faith and hope. And that heart still waits for us to respond to all the graces she's interceding for us to receive, so that we, by God's mercy, may come to be with her forever. The preface says that this undivided and pure heart, this steadfast and watchful heart, helped her endure without fear the sword of sorrow and await in faith her son's resurrection. And as we say, praebe mihi cor tuum, O Maria, she wants to give us a courageous and faithful heart, one that's always alert to the bridegroom's presence, all the way until with her we have a chance to celebrate the eternal banquet. That's the heart Mary wants us to imitate. That's the heart that will fulfill the prayer we made yesterday. Last night, one of my spiritual directees, who loves In Sinu Jesu as much as Sister Monica Marie, sent me a beautiful email card, spiritual bouquet for this feast, which she quoted the anonymous priest author of that work, as Mary said to him and through him to us, what consecration to her Immaculate Heart means. I am your Mother of Perpetual Help and the Mediatrix of all graces for my dear children. My eyes of mercy are toward you. My heart is open to you. My hands are ever raised in prayer for you, or open over you to shower abundant graces upon you and upon those for whom you pray. I am pleased that you want to imitate my son, St. John, in making your home with me, in opening to me every part of your life. In this way, you allow me to act upon you, but you also allow me to act with you and through you. My presence and action are revealed in gentleness and sweetness and mercy. I want you to resemble me spiritually, just as Jesus resembled me physically. Jesus, looking at me, saw the perfect reflection of all the dispositions and virtues of his adorable heart. I, looking at you, want to see my own Immaculate Heart mirrored in yours. I want to communicate to you the virtues of my heart. By consecrating yourself to me, you have made this possible. And already, my transformation of you has begun. That transformation that Mary prays for and ministers is effectuated at Mass. It's here that Jesus responds to Mary's prayers and our prayers to give us a heart transplant as we receive his heart and his whole body, blood, soul, and divinity within. This is the means by which our heart becomes wise, obedient, new, gentle, undivided, pure, vigilant, and steadfast. This is the way our heart becomes like his. Praebe nobis, cor tuum, O Maria.